Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
You know, I care about freedom. I like it when people can make choices for themselves. And I think that freedom is, as I told the Keene City Council this week when they were considering a mask mandate, which they ended up voting 5-0 for, to send to the full city council next week. So they basically would be bringing back another mask mandate. I said, you know, freedom is about the ability to say no, and it's about the ability to make a choice for yourself, even if it's the wrong choice. You know, that's what freedom is about to me, at least.
Well, and I mean, it's one of those things like Ron Paul once pointed out that we don't have freedom of speech for talking about the weather. It's for unpopular speech
that
we have these ideas that these are protected rights. And in the same way, like, you don't have the right to make your own choices as long as everyone agrees with them. It's not your choices that everyone agrees with that you have those rights for. It's when you might have a lot of other people that disagree with what you're doing, but it's your body, not theirs.
Yeah, and that's a fundamental belief amongst people like us who actually believe in freedom, is it is your body. You should be able to do what you want with it, whether it's tattoo it or put chemicals into it or eat things that other people wouldn't agree with. And not a lot of people are huge fans of smoking cigarettes these days. It's less popular than it's ever been. Cigars, tobacco products in general, they are not as popular as they once were. I presume they will now put you in a jail cell if you're caught with cigarettes or other tobacco products as a young person in New Zealand born after 2008. Because now they, according to their health minister there, she says, "We want to make sure young people never start smoking," she says. The move is part of a sweeping crackdown on smoking announced by New Zealand's health ministry on Thursday. Doctors and other health experts have welcomed the world-leading reforms, which will reduce access to tobacco and restrict nicotine levels in cigarettes. So I guess they're changing the actual products as well. The crackdown has been met with mixed reactions. One man told Reuters, "I reckon it's a good move, really, because right now," I didn't think they said reckon over in New Zealand, but apparently.
"I reckon."
"But because right now there's a lot of young kids walking around with smokes in their mouth. Public are asking how they're getting these smokes." Really? You still have to ask that question?
Prohibition doesn't work, ever, at all, for anyone.
Yeah, it's the same old story, I'm sure. They find somebody who's over 18 or 21 or whatever who's willing to, you know, take $5, some homeless guy who, you know, could use a few extra bucks. He'll go in and buy the cigarettes for you. I mean, it's the same old story. Things haven't changed.
"You guys are the upper 1%, smart people, honest. I mean, we can't handle freedom out here."
What?
Out where?
In Florida?
Anywhere. I mean, it's... people need government and everything to keep them in line. I mean, of course you guys don't. I mean, I can tell from listening to you.
Well, I mean, so the idea that government will keep you in line, I mean, government is just people. So, I mean, if people can keep people in line, I mean, for one thing, you know a lot more about your situation and about what's going to keep it in line than someone else does. So, I mean, your argument is, well, we need people to keep people in line, I agree. We just don't agree on which people need to keep which people in line.
Well, I mean, you guys, I totally trust you to be government-free, but I can't say that applies to everybody.
Why can't you just let go? I mean, we're not talking about letting people run wild and commit murder. I mean, you don't need to have the state around to stop people from committing crime. So what is your issue with how other people want to live?
Well, that's what I mean. So there are rules. So we're not free.
There's always going to be rules. You're never free to oppress somebody else's rights by killing them or raping them or, you know, destroying their property. That's not the vision for the free future that we talk about on this show at all.
You and I are perfect. I mean, I would totally trust you to be in charge.
Well, but I don't want to be in charge of you. I don't want to be in charge of anybody. And why would you want somebody to tell you what to do? Or why should anybody have... I mean, if you want to hire somebody to tell you what to do, and I understand some people are into that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what turns some people on. They want somebody who they think is an expert to tell them how to live their lives. Well, there's all kinds of people on the internet out there that you can hire to tell you every single thing, from how to wake up in the morning to how to go to sleep at night.
And that's one of the fun things about our belief structure is, if you want a government, that's great. You do that over there. It's sort of the same thing where if you decide to go into a boxing match with someone, that's your right. You've agreed that these rules will be suspended within this framework. Usually a guy can't just punch you in the face, but you're going to agree to let that happen to you. But you can't make that agreement for me. You can't agree that I'm going to be in a boxing match. In the same way, if you want to say, all right, I want to hand this power to these people to say whoever else agrees to this, they can threaten us with kidnapping and exact all sorts of tolls and fees and taxes from us. If you want to opt into that, great. Good for you. I can't imagine doing that, but people do all sorts of things I can't imagine wanting to do.
This is not a subject that y'all have touched on tonight, but that guy that they called a few minutes ago from Daytona, I would like to hear his opinion of the government when they lead us into World War III, which is what's going to happen if they don't stop sticking their nose where it don't belong. We don't have any interest in Ukraine. The only interest we have in the place from China is that that's where the corporations get stuff and jack it up 1,000%, so the corporate executives can make their eight-figure incomes.
Yeah, well, I have no interest in seeing the U.S. government anywhere around the world, for that matter, because my interests are peace. So I don't want to see the U.S. military in any other countries. What do you think about that, Greg?
Only if they're talking about coming over here and doing damage.
Well, I don't see anybody talking about that. And if somebody's just talking, I don't know if that's enough reason to, you know, send an invading force somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm not really talking about sending an invading force. I'm talking about, well, I don't know how to.
Well, would you consider a military base an invasion? Like, if the Chinese government built a military base in your neighborhood, would you consider that an invasion?
You know what? That's a good question.
You have a right, if you choose, to put nicotine and other harmful substances in your body, but you do not have a right to push them into mine. The fact that someone has a right to smoke does not mean he necessarily has a right to smoke in an enclosed space with other people, depending on who owns the closed space.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody owns a private business such as a restaurant, he's the one to decide whether he allows it or not.
Yeah, that's the way it should be.
Once a place that's owned by all parties, such as the courthouse, or some other such place where the people have all been made to pay taxes for it, then I don't think it should be allowed.
I can't say anything I disagree with there. I mean, if it's a shared space, then people, you know, have to decide together about that. And if it's private property, then, yeah, the private property owner gets to decide. Unfortunately, in a lot of states, the private property owner does not get to decide. In fact, I wonder how many of the 50 states actually allow private property owners to make this decision. I know that down in Florida, where I'm from, it was 2002, and just after we started doing this show, for the very first time, the second week we ever did Free Talk Live, we were talking about the cigarette ban inside businesses. And then when I moved up here to New Hampshire, they got the same damn thing. They say here at, this is the BBC reporting, that New Zealand's government gang is determined to achieve a national goal of reducing their smoking rate to 5% by 2025, with the aim of eventually eliminating it altogether. And, of course, they're doing that step one by banning anyone who's born after 2008 from ever smoking or ever using any tobacco products. Right now, 13% of New Zealand adults smoke, with the rate much higher among the indigenous Maori population, where it soars to almost a third. And according to the story here, Maori also suffer a higher rate of disease and death. And then they point out that they are also cracking down in other ways. So beyond cutting the amount of nicotine in the products themselves, they're also introducing other controls, including significant restrictions on where cigarettes can be sold, removing them from supermarkets and corner stores. The number of shops authorized to sell cigarettes will be drastically reduced from under 500 or to under 500. So that's their goal in the entire country of New Zealand. Right now, there's about 8,000 places that are authorized to sell tobacco products. That is going to be cut down to less than 500, I presume, by some date in the near future.
I was going to say, yeesh, where else can you even buy tobacco products? I guess they'll have to get them from drugstores?
I was just going to tell you about the air cleaners, about some of these places where they smoke. They're probably expensive, but they could probably have them, you know. Now you might have to have 150 of them.
Now, what's the we got you. What's the current situation there in Georgia? Are you allowed? Are there restaurants where you can go in and actually smoke?
Yeah, but you can't smoke, and I don't know if it's all of them. I guess the restaurants around here, you know, like the Crystal and all that, you know. But I don't smoke. I don't like smoking restaurants anyway, because I never did like to anyway. In my format here, I'm not supposed to.
Oh yeah, Georgia Smoke Free Air Act of 2005. So yeah,
they told me it's the government. I don't know if it's a government
it's
rule
government.
Or what.
Yeah, it's government. It was 2005. Prohibits smoking inside most public areas and outlines specific guidelines for allowing smoking in and around establishment that serves the public.
I did sign a paper, and they kept wanting to beat me, but you know, I don't know where to go. So
someone
I'm
wanted to beat you.
So I'm gonna smoke.
Hold on. I'm. What now?
What paper did you sign? Were you saying?
I signed a paper, you know, saying I wouldn't smoke in my apartment here.
Oh, okay. Well, that's it's private property.
It's just
so.
Like I signed, you know.
A lot of people believe that, well, we'd still have children in coal mines if we didn't have all these laws against child labor. And no, we had children working factories and that sort of thing because we were just too poor as a society to get along without doing that, which is terrible. What happened is we got rich enough that we could afford to not have our children be laborers.
And keep the kids at home.
Right. Yeah. To give them some time to learn more things, to expand their skills, so that they're able to do even more when they reach an older age. That requires wealth.
Right. And the laws in the case that you're talking about, child labor laws, actually end up hurting kids because, I mean, the intention, right? Like, usually the intention behind a law isn't what really ends up happening with it. There's all kinds of unintended consequences from these prohibitions and restrictions. But, you know, the intention is, keep kids from getting their arms cut off in factories. No one wants that to happen. Mm-hmm. But as a result, you now prohibit kids from actually learning entrepreneurship. You prohibit kids from learning how to interact with customers. I mean, for me, when I worked for my mom, because you're still allowed to work for your parents. They don't prohibit that. So when I worked for my mom at her thrift store when I was an 8, 9, 10 year old or whatever, I learned how to run a cash register and learn how to, you know, smile with customers coming up and be friendly and all those things that you learn about at some point when you want to deal with people.
I think that the CDC or whomever in the government is still clamping down on smokers after the last 25 or 30 years really hard. They need to change the game plan because here in America, I seriously doubt that smoking is our biggest health concern. I think it's obesity. And West Virginia is where I'm from, and we tie with Mississippi, I believe, to have the fattest people in America.
Wow.
And I've been paying very close attention to this for the last 20 years. And, you know, here where I live in my city, it's embarrassing and it's disgusting that the average weight of a female, for instance, between 18 and, let's say, 30 is about 180 pounds.
Oh,
that's
man.
Average. And it goes way up from there. I think it's really pathetic that they continue to go after the smokers and pretend like our obesity epidemic doesn't exist. And obesity has so many more issues with health than cigarettes do.
I just looked it up, and the CDC says that obesity is connected to 13 different kinds of cancer. And the two largest killers of Americans are cancer
and
heart
attack,
disease.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we all know the connections between obesity and heart disease. So, but I can tell you exactly why they're not being targeted. I mean, can you imagine how many? Well, can you imagine how many corporations there are that are contributing to our obesity?
And contributing to the politicians.
Oh, absolutely. Exactly my point. all of the fast food restaurants, all of the sugar and corn subsidies, of the
corn syrup,
all of the soft drink companies. I mean, that is just an enormous cash cow. So if you just start mentioning that our obesity is causing, us to become more likely to develop flu-like symptoms under a variety of circumstances, for example, or the fact that it's killing us at the highest possible rates, well, then you're going to lose all of that, those campaign contributions, and they will contribute to whoever is running against you.
Jerry, thanks for sharing. Go ahead.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Not only that, but if it's popular for the masses, then it's typically left alone.
Mm-hmm, sure.
There's a lot more fat people than there are smokers.
Seeing as how they've already brought Big Bird up into the argument, when are they going to bring Ronald McDonald up so that the little five-year-olds can get their chicken McNuggets if they get a Fauci ouchie at the door by the smiling clown?
Giving them ideas.
Yeah. You're pointing out that that Big Bird has actually been recruited to pimp the vaccines for Pfizer and Moderna. And that happened, it wouldn't surprise me if McDonald's
did the same thing.
You
can get a beer, you can get donuts, why can't you get a Big Mac?
Some places are giving away bags of weed.
What's another American clown? What's another American clown sold
Bozo?
Down the road?
He's probably dead.
I remember Bozo. He was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he's probably
Oopsie
long gone.
Oopsie was crazy. You remember Oopsie?
No, I don't know Oopsie. That's before my time.
Yeah, he had like a weird top hat with a limp daisy hanging out the top of it. It was kind of crazy, but... Huh.
Yeah.
It was back in the day when they had, there was a milk clown, too. What was his name?
Milk clown.
He had a tall, pointy hat with a bunch of buttons down the front of it.
See, this is before people got completely irrational when it comes to clowns. I mean, there's so many people who are afraid of clowns for whatever reason.
I blame Stephen King and Hollywood.
You think that was all that it took?
Oh, I think most of the clown phobia, I don't know what the proper term for that is, I think most of that came from it.
You know, I like a good salad, but if there's chicken in that salad, it's actually going to fill me up. Whereas if I just eat a big old salad, I'm still hungry afterwards.
Yeah, and
you know,
and I gotta say, like, anything that governments get involved in, I mean, when you have this gang of goons that has all of their incentives, I mean, you're not going to get good data from that. Like the organizations that are pushing moving to an insect diet, like, they're not doing that because the data shows that eating insects is better for you. Like, they're doing that because they have an agenda, and any piece of propaganda that they can do to push you in the direction of that agenda is more power to them. So, and honestly, the fact is that the USSR was a profoundly authoritarian government. And they went to extensive lengths to make sure that as few people as possible were questioning their regime. Yeah. And there is some pretty good study as far as the particular components of meat and your ability to create brain tissue.
Mm.
So at least for some people, I know that that is the case. Like, I personally do not work well if I remove meat from my diet. I can only do that for a short period of time before I'm simply not able to think as clearly and as well. And I'm sure there's lots of people that's true for.
I raised three children alone, and I did all the cooking, and I bought very little stuff at the grocery store. Everything I raised in the garden.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
And I worked full-time, and I raised three kids.
That is going above and beyond the call of duty. I mean, it would be enough to just get people to go back to the grocery store, but to go on and, you know, grow it all yourself, especially in North Dakota, I mean, that's got to be a challenge.
Well, at the time, I'll be honest with you, I was living in Maine.
Well, it still gets cold there, too. I mean, your growing season's a little limited up here. Were you able to grow in the winter, with some sort of a indoor grow up or a greenhouse or something?
Well, no, I used to can.
Ah.
You can, and I could put potatoes and stuff like that in the cellar and keep them cool.
Got it.
So, and how is the obesity rate in your family there?
No one's overweight, and most of us are at weight. I think one of my sons is a little underweight. That's because he's not eating properly right now.
Well, and there you go. I mean, the habits that you set growing up are
last a lifetime, right?
Yeah, that is your basis of operation for the rest of your life. And sure, yep. there's definitely some wiggle room, some ability to move from that basis. But when you start the good habits early, it's a lot easier to keep them.
I mean, look at the schism in the United States. People are deadlocked in this country, and well, there's a clear division between them.
It's been
them.
Basically one-third of people are in favor of the intervention of these goons. Mm-hmm. One-third of people are against the intervention of these goons. And one-third of people are just trying to be polite. Hmm. And since the people against it aren't actually asking for anything, they're like, oh, well, I'll do what the people asking me to do something are asking me to do. So if that third of people keeps moving in the direction of like, okay, this was supposed to be a 2-week thing, guys. This was supposed to be a 2-week thing 19 months ago. Like, okay, we're done with this. If the sentiment moves, then they are going to have to move, and they'll just have to wait until later to do these draconian and authoritarian rules.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it just seems like a political move by the Republicans. They want to shore up their base and pander to the people that they want to vote for them, and that's all that this is.
No, the astonishing part is that they got a couple of Democrats to break ranks.
That is a surprise.
That is really astonishing because, I mean, Democrats have essentially been a monolith. Mm-hmm. for a really long time on both Republican matters and on Democratic matters. So, I mean, like, a lot of their base is really focused on the idea of having Medicare for all or what have you. When they arrest you, it's kidnapping.
When they send you a tax bill, it's an extortion.
When they keep you in these places where you are not allowed to have social contact with your social group, like, we've done the experiments to find out what that does in the brain, it's just the same as torture. Mm. So mm-hmm. They are kidnapping people. They are torturing them. That's what they're doing.
Oh, but you voted for this. You voted for these people.
Well, that is the illusion, isn't it? That I had an option to not do this. Except that, okay, what was my option? Well, you could vote for gang on the left mm-hmm. or gang on the right.
Psychopath A or psychopath B.
Hmm. Are they going to do exactly the same thing in slightly different flavors?
Pretty
Ooh,
much.
But the rhetoric is different.
Yeah.
What a great big difference that means.
Yeah, and that's, you know, to get to the next story here with this Ron DeSantis character who has been lauded by so many people over the last couple of years as though he's some great freedom lover, and it's just so ridiculous how easy it is to fool people. And in many cases, people who should know better. People, libertarian people who should know that basically anyone calling themselves governor is not your friend. And just because they might be doing something that is less offensive than 49 or 48 other governor people out there doesn't mean that he's not as much of a tyrant as the rest of them. Florida is becoming well known for its politicians who are positive about the digital currency economy, as Miami Mayor Francis Suarez has been vocal about supporting Bitcoin. Of course, we talked about the Miami coin thing here, which came out, I don't know, four or five months ago or something like that, which is not officially done by the city of Miami. It's done by just like an independent cryptocurrency group. But yet the city of Miami mayor has embraced it, and that's because they're getting free revenue from it. Suarez gets a portion of his salary in Bitcoin and recently announced he plans to take a fraction of his 401k retirement plan and convert it into Bitcoin. A report published by Fortune magazine says DeSantis has explained in recent times he wants the Florida government to become crypto-friendly. Florida encourages cryptocurrency as a means of commerce and furthering Florida's attractiveness to business and economic growth, wrote DeSantis in the budget proposal. So again, I don't want to fellate any politicians for liking cryptocurrency. I think they're snakes, they're, you know, bad people, they're psychopaths. But there is one good thing about this, and that is that if politicians see value in cryptocurrency and they themselves acquire it, the odds that it will ever be banned are very, very slim. As you know, the Swiss government has been one of the better ones on the planet as far as cryptocurrency, or not crypto, we were talking crypto, as far as COVID restrictions are concerned. And they've been lauded by people that, you know, care about freedom. Unfortunately, that's all changing. They had an election recently there in that country, and Swiss voters backed the government's pandemic response plan in a referendum by a clear majority, paving the way for a continuation of exceptional measures to stem the rising tide of COVID-19 cases. The government's tally of Sunday's vote showed a wider-than-expected majority of 62% of voters supporting the law passed earlier this year to provide financial aid to people hit by COVID-19 and allowing for COVID certificates, which provide proof of COVID-19 vaccination, recovery, or a negative test, and are currently required to enter bars, restaurants, and certain events. So you thought that they were going to, yeah, and I didn't realize they'd rolled that out. I thought they had avoided that over there, but.
Not surprised.
Apparently the people are all about that, or at least 62% of them are. So.
Well, I mean, if you look at the practices of Central Europe, I mean, it's similar to how when this all came down, our governor just started doing exactly what the Massachusetts governor did when the Massachusetts governor did it.
I just was going to invite you to buy property here in Albuquerque or New Mexico area because the prices have gone up so crazy. So the average price of a house is like about $350,000.
Well, there were already plenty of reasons for me not to want to live in New Mexico, but now there's another one to not want to live in New Mexico.
Right, but I'm trying to figure out why all of a sudden our prices have gotten so expensive. It's just amazing. Maybe the Netflix is here. When we finished building the ART bus line, it's nice and air-conditioned. But I'm trying to figure out what other reasons why people are willing to, you know, snatch up the house so fast. I was told that if they put a house up for sale, they would have like 7 people or 10 people that want it.
Yeah.
And they could just ask whatever they want.
Do you remember the 2008 financial crisis, right?
I think I heard something about that.
Well, so one of the things about owning property, owning houses, is that there's enough of a voting bloc that owns houses, owns properties, that they know that the value that is invested in real estate will be protected by the government.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.